Welcome to the Get to the Point podcast, a podcast for busy women who want to have real conversations about fitness, nutrition, and lifestyle, but without rambling or wasting time. Let's get to the point. Hey guys, welcome to episode 21 of the Get to the Point podcast. I'm your host, Leslie Young. This episode is by request, and it is also, at the time of recording, pretty timely for what's about to happen in the next couple weeks, and that is two major holidays and then another big holiday as we end the year 2019. We've got Hanukkah, we've got Christmas, and we've got New Year's. So the two food groups that I'm going to talk about in this episode are sugar and alcohol. And these are foods that are pretty common triggers for a lot of people. And I'll explain what I mean by triggers in just a minute. But I think during this time of year, the problem becomes magnified. It's pretty impossible to even turn a corner any day of the week and not be face to face with some kind of holiday treat. So I do not believe in just telling you guys to use willpower and suck it up and just say no. That typically doesn't end very well. And I think you know that if you've tried to use it. It's really easy for our willpower to get worn down pretty quickly, especially during the holidays when we are more busy, maybe more stressed. And we're also in kind of that celebratory mood. Everyone around us is, you know, having cookies and drinking cocktails and, oh, sure, what the heck, why not? I'll jump in too. So peer pressure is very real. And the treat yourself, let's celebrate the holidays mentality is very real. And it's also just really hard to say no and abstain from delicious, yummy things that are everywhere. So I've been wanting to cover these two food groups for a while. I'm calling them food groups, like alcohol is a food group. You know what I mean. these two categories of foods that give people problems. I've wanted to cover them for a while, but I kind of jumped this episode to the front of the line when I got a message this week from one of our listeners, somebody that I've known for years. She and I go way back to Gold's Gym in Arlington, Virginia. It's where we met when we were both, in the group exercise world up there. And she wanted to know if I have ever personally struggled with alcohol along my fitness, nutrition, wellness journey. And she said that she's heard me talk before about being able to wean myself off of sugary breakfasts, the coffee shop breakfast pastry thing that I had to, you know, get myself off of because that was my addiction for years. And she says, you know, but I'm wondering if you have any strategies for eliminating / moderating alcohol. It's such a huge setback for so many of us. I'm wondering if you've ever covered this or if you could speak about it. So yeah, absolutely. I would be happy to. And in this episode, I'm going to talk about these foods, these trigger foods and kind of how to think about them. And then I'll share three strategies that I've used that we teach our clients to use that work really, really well. So the first thing that I think you need to know going into this conversation, when you're kind of acknowledging the fact that, all right, I have a little issue here. I, you know, can't seem to say no to this food or this beverage. And once I have one, it's like it opens the floodgates and I just want more, more, more. And it's becoming an issue. You know, with alcohol, this doesn't mean like you're a full-blown alcoholic. You can still, you know, realize that you are maybe depending on it too much or having it too frequently without being a full-blown alcoholic. Like there is a spectrum, there is a scale here. So you don't have to be, you know, ready to sign up for an addiction program to say, you know what, I kind of want to have a better relationship with alcohol and maybe drink it less frequently, consume it less frequently, and be more empowered to say no from time to time versus just feeling like you have to have it all the time and you can't live without it. So the first thing I will say is that wherever you are on your journey is just wherever you are right now. Just because a food or a beverage is an issue for you right now doesn't mean that it will always be the case. The thing with trigger foods, and let me define that for you so you can understand what I'm saying when I say trigger foods, what I mean. A trigger food in our world here at Fat Loss Lifestyle School is any food that either imbalances your hunger, energy, and cravings, or a food that causes you to stop getting fat loss results. So this is where you kind of got to understand that you're very different than anybody else. Everybody has unique sensitivities, preferences, personalities. All these different factors go into how we interact with food. So what might be fine for one person, your best friend, your sister, your coworker, might not work for you. So just understand that just because a food is an issue for you right now doesn't mean that will always be the case. And these things are highly individual. So it's really about knowing yourself and kind of giving yourself a little grace here and understanding where you are on the path. One thing that we've seen repeatedly in working with clients over the years is that when they start working with us, there are lots of foods that they don't feel confident around. They don't feel in control around. And the more they go through the process of improving their nutrition, reducing their stress, being more mindful around food choices and stopping to ask themselves, do I actually really want this? Or am I just eating it because it's there, because I'm bored, whatever. The more that they kind of go through this process and the more advanced they get in, you know, living this lifestyle, the fewer foods they have issues with. I can tell you personally, I used to be the person who could not have anything sweet in my house. Like if there was a pint of ice cream in the freezer, I knew it was there. I was thinking about it. It's like it was talking to me. And I just couldn't leave it alone till it was gone. That would be the same with cookies or baked goods or candy, anything like that, anything sweet. Like I could not have it in my house for a time because I would eat it. And then after I started to get my hormones balanced through improving my nutrition, through changing the way that I was training and just kind of changing my overall lifestyle, I'm to the point now where honestly, I can tell you we have a couple pints of ice cream in the freezer. We have a drawer of dark chocolate. We have a bag of tortilla chips in the pantry. Those foods aren't issues for me because I've done this work and gone through this process and I'm just in a different place now. So a little bit of encouragement there before I jump into this. Just because you don't feel confident and in control around sugar or alcohol right now doesn't mean that you can't train yourself to be more confident and more in control around those foods. So my three quick strategies that I want to share with you, and yes, I'm all about strategies and skills and not just telling people to rely on willpower. I think that sucks and it's not helpful. So the three things I'm going to teach you in this episode: boundaries, breaks, and swaps. These are three things that I've used, my clients have used, and they really, really work. So try them out, see which one, you know, works for you in any given situation. And I would love to hear back from you if you find that one of these approaches is helpful in how you interact around the platters of Christmas cookies and endless treats in the office break room and traveling and being bombarded by holiday treats at every turn. And also just the holiday merriment and the holiday spirits that are flowing at Christmas parties and Hanukkah parties and holiday parties. We certainly want everyone to enjoy their holidays, but to do so feeling balanced and in control and not like they have to turn down invitations or avoid events because, ooh, if I go to that party, I'm going to wipe out all the cookies and drink all the alcohol. And I just, you know, ooh, I can't do that. So here is maybe a happier middle ground between cold turkey and just not having anything. That's no fun. Let's try this instead. Tip number one, boundaries. Tip number two, strategy number two is going to be breaks. And then strategy number three is swaps. So it's boundaries, breaks, and swaps. That has a nice little ring to it. And I think that honestly helps when you're in these situations too. If you have like a little mantra or an acronym or something you can kind of plug into your brain that sticks, you walk into that situation and you remember, oh, this is like that podcast episode I heard. Boundaries, breaks, and swaps. Okay, which one am I going to use? Which one do I want to use right now? All right. So hopefully you listen to this episode and then boundaries, breaks, and swaps get stuck in your brain and you, boom, you have it. You have this card ready to play when you're at your holiday party or you're out with your girlfriends or having, you know, dinner with your family. Here we go. Boundaries. This is the idea of putting some parameters around whatever the trigger food is for you. So let's say it is alcohol. An example of a boundary around alcohol could be, I'm no longer going to buy alcohol at the grocery store each week and keep it in my house. I'm only going to have alcohol when I am out at dinners or social events. Or boundaries could be, I'm only going to have one glass and then I'm going to switch to sparkling water or seltzer water or whatever. So putting some kind of parameters, boundaries around yourself so that you just have some ground rules. And I think when you set these yourself, it's a lot easier to stick to them. It's a lot more empowering versus, you know, some trainer or some person on the internet telling you like, here are the rules. You have to follow my rules. Well, I'm not you. I don't live your life. I don't know what you're struggling with or what you're faced with. So I think it's going to work far better if you take a look at your life and you set up those boundaries yourself, because you know yourself and your life better than anyone else ever will. So just kind of take ownership of that and know yourself and know where your lines are, and also look for patterns. This is something that we teach our clients and something that we've had a lot of success with, is when you see yourself doing something over and over and over again, that's a pattern, that's a habit, and that's a really good opportunity to establish some new boundaries and some guidelines for yourself so that you stop repeating that cycle, that pattern. So I realized that every time I go to Trader Joe's, I buy a bottle of wine and then it ends up getting opened and I end up drinking it all. Okay, new boundary. I'm going to stop buying wine at Trader Joe's and just have a glass when I go out for dinners and go to parties or whatever. Okay. So that's the first thing. The first strategy is to set some boundaries for yourself. Number two, take breaks from these problem foods or from problem beverages. I think there's something mentally that just feels a little easier and happier, for lack of a better word, around saying, I'm taking a break from that right now, versus, no, I can't have that. No, I'm not allowed to have that. I'm not having that. You know, this kind of restrictive, rigid, all or nothing mindset for a lot of people in and of itself is a trigger. And it just feels like a total bummer, especially around the holidays when, you know, everybody is celebrating and eating lots of yummy things and having lots of fun Christmas cocktails and things. It feels, you know, kind of scroogey to be the girl over in the corner saying, no, I can't have that. Okay. So a middle ground, again, all about the middle ground. A middle ground would be to say that you're taking a break from something. It doesn't mean you're never going to have it again. It doesn't mean you can't have it ever, but that's just a really easy, empowering card to play when you are, you know, face to face with the dessert table or the cocktails, the cocktail bar, your friends like, hey, do you want another cocktail? Hey, do you want another glass? Hey, would you like some dessert? I'm good, actually. Thank you. I'm just taking a break from that right now. That's a really easy way to like deflect someone who's trying to offer you something that you know is going to be a problem for you. And it tends to work a little better and come across a little softer than just, no, I'm sorry, I can't have that. Well, why not? Because I'm doing this very strict program. Oh, well, tell me about your program. Oh, that sounds interesting. And then it's this whole thing. This is a whole annoying conversation about nutrition and food and what diets you're on and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it's like discussing politics at the holidays. Like, no one likes that. That never ends well. So love this strategy for just deflecting and kind of changing the conversation. Throw up the hand, say no, thank you. I'm just taking a break from that right now. Okay. And like I said earlier, the cool thing about changing your lifestyle and changing the way that you eat and train and manage stress and sleep and kind of handling all these big rocks in your lifestyle that are going to influence your health, your fitness, your wellness, once you start doing that, you're going to find that there are less things you need to take a break from. In fact, this is what often happens when our clients go through Fat Loss Lifestyle School. There will be a food that they're used to eating a lot of, and we don't even tell them to not have it. Sugar is a good example. There are ladies who've gone through our program who were maybe having dessert like every day, multiple times a day, or every night after dinner. They were like in the ice cream or having the wine every night after dinner. And we never at any point in our program said, this is a sugar detox. No more ice cream ever. No more wine. 30 days. No alcohol. We never said that. We simply said, we're going to focus more on these foods that are proven to balance hormones that influence hunger and cravings and energy and get you eating more of the right things more often. And when we do that, they kind of get their eye on a different ball. They start focusing on something else, focusing on what they should add, focusing on positive changes that they can make, things that are going to make them feel better, versus us focusing the spotlight on all the things they can't have and shouldn't have. And it those foods kind of naturally weed themselves out and minimize themselves. And then what happens after a couple weeks of doing this, they'll go back and have that food, like at a treat meal, for example, which we do once a week. And they'll be like, whoa, that's not even good. How did I even eat this every night? I don't even like this anymore. What happened? And it's like the craziest thing. And they tell us they had no idea that this was possible. They're like, an alien has invaded my body. I have had ice cream every night after dinner for years, and now I don't even want it. What is happening here? But that's the amazing thing that happens when you start putting more of the right foods in your body and doing the things that are going to make you feel good. You just naturally don't want those foods. You don't enjoy them as much. They just aren't the huge triggers that they used to be. And, you know, that's not to say that that's going to be the case for everyone. But it definitely is something that improves over time. Just because you're taking a break from something right now doesn't mean you can never have it again. In fact, you can probably reintroduce it in a couple of weeks, in a couple of months, once you focus on some other things and, you know, you can kind of come back and work on that later. Okay. Strategy number three. So we've done boundaries, we've done breaks, put up some boundaries for yourself, say, no, thank you. I'm taking a break from that right now. And then the third strategy is swaps. And I love this one, especially for alcohol and sugar, because it's so easy to swap these things out. A swap, what I mean by that is just swapping out a better version that gets you close enough, but doesn't have the same triggering effects as the original food. For example, this is something I used a lot when I was starting out because I love to bake. And I already told you, I love sweet foods. Like, I'm a huge sweet tooth. Alcohol, not a problem for me. Sweets, yes. So I used to bake all the time. And once I started living a fatless lifestyle, I realized, okay, I probably need to make some changes to the recipes I'm using. I can still bake, but can I do it with better ingredients? Can I do it with less sugar? Can I use more natural sweeteners and use less of them? Could I use better quality flours and fats? Yes. And at this point in time, it's totally different than when I was starting. There are so many creative, amazing recipes online for pretty much any food you could possibly imagine. Someone has figured out a way to make that food healthier, with lower sugar, with less fat, with better quality ingredients. So, you know, an example recently that I've used, my husband the other week, who also has a huge sweet tooth, said, "Can you make some banana bread?" Yes, I can make some banana bread. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to use a recipe that maybe uses applesauce, that uses, more bananas as natural sweeteners and doesn't have as much added sugar, because the bananas are sweet enough on their own. You don't need to add a ton of sugar to that. So this is an example of how you can make a swap for something that is still going to scratch the itch. It was still amazing. The kitchen still smelled like banana bread, which is like the best part of baking, is how it smells before it comes out of the oven, right? We still got all the feels and all the taste of the banana bread, but it was not the same as going to Starbucks and getting a slice of their banana bread, which is going to set you back 400 plus calories, 70, 80 grams of carbs, because there's so much added sugar, lots of fat, because they use lots of junky oils like vegetable oil, etc. So we made it at home, and a slice of the banana bread that I made came in around 100 calories and was still delicious. So that's what I'm talking about here. Swapping is figuring out a way to have that food, get close to it without having the real thing, in a way that still satisfies the craving, the desire for it. You still enjoy it, but it's doing so without those more like addictive qualities that the original food might have. Because when you do have a food that is very high in fat and carbohydrates together, it is like Christmas for your brain. It loves it. That's why we tell our clients to be really mindful around foods that are high in fat and carbs. They're very palatable. They're very easy to overeat. And if you look at foods that most people struggle with, they're foods that are high in calories because they have a large quantity of fat and carbs together. So just something to watch out for. Let's talk quickly about alcohol swaps. One thing that has worked so well for a lot of ladies in our program is, instead of having that nightly glass of wine, replace it with something else. So if you're somebody that usually has a glass of wine while you're cooking dinner, put something else in that wine glass. And yes, we still use the wine glass. So I'm sure you've seen us post on social media, we'll fill the wine glass with something like sparkling water and maybe some fruit, like a squeeze of fresh lime or lemon, or I love to do pomegranate seeds lately, really pretty. Or you could do kombucha. Kombucha has that kind of effervescent quality that, you know, we sometimes get from alcohol, like beer or cocktails or wine. So that can be a really good substitute. But this is a really easy way to replace alcohol with something similar and people laugh. They're like, that's not going to work. Oh, it actually works. Yes, it does. So just understanding that when you come home and start cooking dinner, you always go for that glass of wine. Okay, I see a pattern there. What can I do to replace the alcohol with something better? With kombucha, with sparkling water. If you're somebody that likes to do a glass of wine after your kids go to bed, or before you go to bed to kind of unwind and de-stress, replace it with something else. Replace it with hot tea. There's a giant wall of tea at Whole Foods with every flavor you could possibly imagine. And again, it's about putting something else in your hand that's going to help you relax and unwind and calm down and get ready for bed in a way that maybe wine, you think wine is serving you. It's actually not. We can replace that with something better. So those are my three strategies for helping you deal with sugar and alcohol, especially during the holiday season. Set up some boundaries for yourself, recognize where those patterns are happening, and put up some guidelines and rules for yourself. And then number two, tell people that you are just taking a break from whatever that food is. And, as you're working through your overall nutrition and lifestyle, maybe you can reintroduce that food or drink later, but not right now. And then number three is swap it out. And the last thing I will say in this episode is, because this is usually the next question people have, is, okay, but what about my friends and family? Well, here's my advice. If you are upfront and honest with your friends and family, and, they don't just take no thank you as an answer, and they start asking questions like, well, why? Why not? Why don't you want this? Why are you trying to be all good and healthy? Like, what's your deal? I think if you tell your friends, I love you guys, I want to hang out with you guys, but I'm not into going out on Friday nights and getting hammered anymore. Like, it's just not healthy for me. I don't like how I feel all weekend. I spend the next 24 to 48 hours trying to recover from our crazy Friday nights. Like, I just can't do that with you guys anymore. Can we hang out in another way? Can we do something else? I think if your friends aren't open to that and they don't support you in that, you need new people. Like, you need a new circle. There's no other way around that. If the people around you are still acting like you're in junior high and trying to pressure you to overconsume alcohol, to overconsume food, and they're giving you crap about it and they're not supportive and they don't have your back, then you need to look at finding a new circle of friends. I'm not the first one to say this. I'm sure you've heard it before, but we become like the average of the people we spend most of our time with. Like, the five people you spend most of your time with, you're going to become like them. So if you don't like who you're becoming and what that's doing to your behavior with your diet, your fitness, your health, your wellness, you need some new people in your circle. Okay. Wow, that's a whole nother episode right there. But just wanted to end with that because I know that these things, sugar and alcohol, there's a definite peer pressure element to that. And this is something that our clients have said really surprised them, pleasantly surprised them, is if they had an honest conversation with their spouse or their roommates or their girlfriends and told them honestly, hey, I'm just taking a break from this right now. I'm working on some stuff. I would really appreciate your support. I'm just trying to, make some healthier changes to my lifestyle. They've really been surprised that their friends and family have been like, oh, that's awesome. Cool. Good for you. And they still keep inviting them. They still keep talking to them. They're still in the gang. They don't get, kicked off the island just because they're not having three cocktails and they only have one, or they just decide not to drink one night. I think sometimes you might be surprised and you build it up in your brain to think that people aren't going to accept you if you're not doing what they're doing. And that's not always the case. So hopefully your people have your back and they're cool with supporting you in making healthier choices. I would love to know if you use one of these strategies. If you use boundaries, breaks, or swaps during the holiday season or really anytime, make sure you reach out, tag us on social media at Fat Loss Lifestyle School. We are now Fat Loss Lifestyle School on Instagram and Facebook. We changed Instagram so that it's consistent and you guys can find us easier. But we would love to know if these strategies help you. Thank you so much for listening. And if this episode was helpful, share it with your friends and or give us a review on iTunes. That helps us reach more people. And it's also going to help us get better guests on the podcast in 2020. Thanks for listening.